You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us for this special Valentine's Day hangover edition. So don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher. And a huge thanks to our tremendous sponsor, Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, for supporting our cause each and every week. This week, we recap last week's UFC 221 Romero versus Rockhold. We speak with the MMA Lab head honcho, John Crouch. And it's another big night of real talk as our discussion panel tackles the hottest topics going today. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I'm joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Still a few weeks until our next regional event, but plenty to talk about in national news.
Yeah, man, we're in this weird like holding pattern here locally for a couple more weeks, but still lots going on in national news to keep us held over.
Yeah, now we're not alone. We are also joined by our guest host for this evening, the coordinator or jack of all trades, if you will, Jeff Hobbs. We've got photojournalist extreme Alan Poole with us. We've got the ace cut man, Mark Laws. And another jack of all trades in a different way, Mr. Sawyer Rich. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
I'm awesome, man. Yeah. I appreciate being on again this week.
I fucking hate Valentine's Day. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay, fair enough. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Fuck a bunch of Valentine's.
True. And Sawyer, I heard you had a big, big Valentine's Day dinner. How are you feeling?
It was with Charlie.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, let's get on into the news. It was UFC 221 live from Perth Arena. They're in Perth, Western Australia. Yoel Romero shocks the world with his picture-perfect knockout over Luke Rockhold. Tim, talk about it.
Oh, man, you know, Romero missed weight, pretty badly, so he wasn't able to get that interim title, so it was kind of tarnished a bit there, but, I thought, we talked about this last week, I thought Rockhold would kind of wear him down and get him out of there late, but, Romero just kept coming strong, man, and he hit him really hard, got that knockout in the third round, and, the missing weight thing is not good, but I don't know that it will still prevent him from that matchup again with Whitaker like it would have been anyway, you know?
Jeff, what do you think? Do you think Yoel Romero is the next great thing here? Is people are comparing him already to Anderson Silva.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Romero believer. You know, it's amazing to me when you look at his age, but, he doesn't show it. I don't think the weight issue wasn't a big deal for me as a fan. I mean, yeah, it sucks for not making it. It had absolutely no bearing on the fight. I mean, even Rockhold himself immediately after the fight, mentioned a jump up, weight division himself. So, I don't think it had any bearing on the fight. I don't think it affected the outcome. Romero took a beating on his leg, though. I know at one point there at the end, he assumed that it was broken. I guess I hear that it's not. But, I'm a believer in Romero, man. I think he's got the skills. He's damn sure mean enough. His judo is sick. His wrestling is phenomenal. The only thing that's ever in question is his gas tank, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited to see what materializes from there and where Luke Rockhold goes from there as well. Now, moving on, it was a big co-main event. Curtis Blaydes gets the decision victory over Mark Hunt in Hunt's home continent. He goes the distance. But then also a couple of other notable characters here. Tai Tuivasa, a guy that I've watched kind of coming up, he gets it done again with a big TKO in round one. And then the Australian superstar Jake Matthews does it again with a decision victory. Mark, did you see, were you able to catch most of this event? What do you think? What did, stands out to you?
I did. Well, the fact that Yoel Romero is a 185er is what stood out most to me, or a 188er for that matter. But Jesus Christ, man, that's a big 188, man. That's a big savage human being. I wasn't that surprised by the Mark Hunt fight. I thought that, you know, with all the beef with the UFC, that he's probably being set up for disaster anyway. But, you know, that's a big fight to lose at home, man. And it's unfortunate, but then again, it's part of the game. And but yeah, damn, Yoel Romero, that guy's the shit.
You know, I think Mark Hunt could keep losing, and he would never lose his fan appeal. He's kind of like when – you remember when Macho Man kept jobbing to, like, DDP and stuff, and he was like, man, I'll always be the Macho Man, yeah, even if I job to the Dumb and Cutter. You know, same kind of deal, man. Like, Mark Hunt, it doesn't matter how many times he loses, just like Tito Ortiz, he's always going to be Mark Hunt. People are always going to come to watch him. So not a huge disappointment or anything like that. Alan, what stood out most for this card with you?
Gosh, that's tough. I mean, I'm a huge Mark Hunt fan. I guess something that really stood out to me was the Luke Rockhold. You know, he quit using his legs there later in the fight, and I think it was from the check kicks that Yoel Romero was using. And Yoel Romero actually, like people say, he doesn't have a game plan. I felt like he had a very clear game plan, and he played it out, and he got the victory. Man, Yoel Romero's 40 years old. How is he able to do this stuff? I mean, is he, have the drug tests come back yet? How long does that take? I mean, I just find it unbelievable, but it is believable because he did it. You know, like, I don't understand how the hell he's pulling this stuff off. I mean, we're the same age, right? So Casey, how the hell is he doing that?
Well, UFC 221, that's on the books. Moving on to this Sunday, it's UFC Fight Night 126 live from the Frank Irwin Center in Austin, Texas. And, of course, it's Donald Cerrone versus Yancy Medeiros topping up that lineup. Tim, talk about what you're gearing up for on this card.
Well, this is a Sunday card, which is, you know, kind of nice, I guess, you know. Take up our Sunday a little better than normal. Cerrone and Medeiros, which last week we talked about, we weren't even aware that it was happening. But now that we are, I'm excited for it. It is going to be a good fight. I mean, I don't see it being a fight that won't deliver. Both these guys are action fighters that put on crowd pleasing fights, and Medeiros is kind of streaky right now. So he, in a good way. So, you know, he's coming in hot. I think that will definitely deliver. I think Derek Lewis and Tiberi is also a fight that's going to deliver. And the top three, actually, James Vick. You know, James Vick's a guy that's been begging for better and better, more ranked competition. He's been, you know, he's been winning his fights, and he's got Francisco Trinaldo. So those are all good fights on the main card. And, you know, Thiago Alves is back at it too. So it's probably definitely worth checking out for free.
Well, I'm gonna take it on over to Jeff. Jeff, man, what stands out to you on this card? What are you looking forward to? I see Josh Berkman, an old school name, on there as well.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what I was gonna get ready to mention. You know, I love the fact that Berkman is on the card and he is still going strong after all these years, man. So I'm happy about that. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. There's not much to get happy about on this card for me. You know, it's very much a, you know, what have you done for me lately? You know, Cerrone is always Cerrone. He's going out on his shield. You know, he wins some, he loses some. He fights whenever he can. I don't think much has changed with Cerrone. What's changed is you know, how much the UFC's marketing them, or I'd say lack of marketing them now, because they've moved on. You know, they moved on from the Cerrone wave. You know, the ebbs and flows of Donald Cerrone. They've just kind of moved on. You haven't heard anything about this card. Derek Lewis, I'm more intrigued right now. Derek Lewis better deliver, because he loves ragging on Twitter as soon as somebody else loses. That's a lot of pressure now. I hope he wins, man. It's fixing to come back, you know, on him. I'm kind of like Tim, though. As far as, you know, fight, I'm looking for. I'm a James Vick fan, man. I think he does get. He's an incredible talent, an incredible fighter, and. You know, he's done nothing short of beg the UFC for top tier competition to prove himself. And for some reason, I mean, even when the damn cards are in his hometown, he can't get any love. You know, he can't get a main event spot or a main event type opponent. And it doesn't look like he's even, you know, which Lewis is a Texas guy too, so I can see why he got the co-main event. And I do think Vic actually made a comment once that he could definitely understand being a co-main to a Derek Lewis main event, but, you know, guy's still not getting any love. So, I guess I'll side with, I guess your sarcasm, I'll side with, what's his name there, Sawyer. Sage, I don't give a shit what he's doing on the card. I really don't. So, those are my takes on FS1 card, man.
All right. Well, not to be outdone by its rival, Bellator 194 kicks off everything on Friday night, and that's live from the Mohegan Sun Arena. It's Matt Mitrione versus Big Country Roy Nelson, and I have to admit, this is a fight, a matchup that intrigues me, Tim.
Yeah, it's rematch. You know, it's guys that have kind of gone off in slightly opposite directions since the last time they fought, which was, I think, like 5 years ago or more, and maybe a little more. And that one saw Big Country get the win, you know, and Mitrione is trajected upward as of late, whereas Nelson is, you know, he won his last Bellator fight. But if I can remember, it was like a really entertaining war against a guy that probably shouldn't have been that close with. And so I think Mitrione gets this win. I think in this rematch, we'll see Mitrione get the win, either probably late. I think he might try to draw Roy into second or third rounds, or he starts to slow down and he sees that big overhand right coming, and he gets it done. That's my pick.
Well, of course, you know, we have a big main event with Patrycki Freire and Derek Campos, but one that kind of a name that stands out to me is Heather Hardy is back. Now, I don't know, you know, how many of you guys recall this, but if you are to Google Heather Hardy's name, you're going to see the vicious, bloody face that we saw last time. You know, that is, I remember that. That's what stands out to me most is she's such a prospect that was kind of built up, and then she had one heck of a fight there that really bludgeoned her very, very badly. Alan, what do you think of Heather Hardy and her return?
I'm glad to see her back. I'm not super familiar with her. I mean, I'm looking at her face right now. Like when it was busted, her nose is all busted, and she is just, ugh. I mean, it's disgusting. She ate it. But she's
I thought
back,
you were about
man.
To say, and she is hot. I thought
she is hot. She's hot. I can't kiss a girl or be like if there's blood running down her face, like it's like some kind of St. Valentine's Day massacre, you know, like some Al Capone type shit. I can't get with that, you know. So
it's easy, bro. It's easy.
Hey, speaking of which, you know, there is a Halloween like Fright Night. It's a St. Valentine's Day massacre like Halloween attraction that is going on in Greenville, South Carolina up until this weekend. So if you guys are, you know, are all up to it, we'll have to maybe take a road trip and go check that out. So that just kind of brought me to that. Over to Sawyer.
I think that fight, the Heather Hardy fight, Casey, from what I've read, is like a part of like a sport versus sport series or whatever. I think that girl that she's fighting is going to box her.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, I mean, that's interesting. Yeah. Sawyer.
For the record, we do need her to win, though.
If we got you back.
Yeah, I mean temporarily, right? I think I'm excited, man. I think that she's great. I love watching, you know, the girls bring it, and I think that there's a lot of fire behind her, and I think that she's gonna get it done. I think she's got superior boxing versus this girl, and I think she's gonna hammer, and hopefully, I mean, I hope she wins. I think she'll get the finish.
All right. Well, that being said, you know, I think it's going to be a great night of fights. It kicks off the whole weekend there on Friday night. So we have a whole weekend of mixed martial arts fighting action on a national level. But let's take it back. Let's dial it back a little bit. Valor Fights 48 comes to us March 31st live from the Nashville Fairgrounds. And, of course, each and every week we are anxious to hear the news and updates. I'm going to send it over to Tim and Jeff Hobbs here to kind of give the updates and let us know what's going on.
Tim, yeah, I'm going to let Tim go with it. You know, Tim's done a lot of work this last couple
We've
of
already, we've talked already, we've really, you know, we've already talked about, did we announced Charlie's fight last week, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Yes, so we got Charlie's fight out there. Shannon Goffrey and Emily Geddes is out there as well. I can announce we've got contracts back now. We can announce that you know, we were talking about having a big female fight. We were excited to host, and that one is signed now. We've got Invicta fighter Kelly D'Angelo coming over from Missouri. She's a teammate of Luis Pena. So if you are familiar with our 155 champ Luis Pena, that is the same camp as him, and she'll be taking on Chelsea Bailey, who is undefeated. She was on The Ultimate Fighter. She's 2-0 technically, but her one, I guess you would say, exhibition loss on The Ultimate Fighter, she went all the rounds with Tatiana Suarez. So no reason to hang her head there. She's been in there with, you know, top-notch talent already, with a win over Kylian Medeiros as well. And so we're really excited to host that fight. And that's a strawweight female fight that I think that will definitely get some attention. I can also announce that Chris O'Conn has signed, and his opponent will be Gerald Colbert from Alabama, a guy that has been up here on as an amateur before and fought the likes of Jacob Clemens, guys like that, always brings it. And I can also announce on the amateur side now, Chase Boutwell will be making his return to the cage to defend his bantamweight strap against Jacob Sandlin from Alabama. And we last saw Jacob Sandlin last year at the beginning of the year. He was in Saudi Daisy. He beat Logan Neal. So a very talented submission grappler, Jacob Sandlin. So that we're excited for that as well. And then we have got I've not got pen to paper, but I've got a very strong verbal commitment that I feel pretty comfortable announcing. We're going to have a flyweight pro bout between Nathan Lindsay of Nashville against Jesse Parker. And that's a fight that was scheduled to take place. I want to say it's been probably about 3 years ago, but it was scheduled to take place as amateurs for the V3 promotion. And we had some snags, or they had some snags on getting that to come to fruition. We'll talk more about that one in the weeks to come, as I'd love to talk to both of these guys on the podcast and start getting some hype going for that fight. And we've got some more stuff in the works. I'm not going to announce it yet until we get past this weekend, just to make sure there's no injuries or whatnot, but we should have our opponent set for Lindsay Sweet Tea Jones as well after this weekend.
All right. Now, remember, Valor Fights 48 goes down March 31st live from the Nashville Fairgrounds Arena. This one is going to be electric. Guys, we've been waiting for 2 months to get back in there for some more Valor Fights action. I was telling Jeff earlier, man, I'm more excited about the Valor Fights events than I am about the UFC. With the UFC so saturated right now, you don't get to see as much of the Valor Fights. You know, I mean, typically we're one per month, but still not nearly as often as the UFC. So these are very much more sought after, in my opinion. It's just the way I think. That being said, that does it for the news, which means it's time for the Valor Hour Q&A segment. And that means that Valor Fights President Tim Loy, he's about to answer your question. And we've got a great lineup already, Tim.
Let's do it.
Okay, first question. In honor of Valentine's Day, what's the most romantic thing you've seen at one of your events? And do you have any tips for being in a relationship with a fighter?
Oh, wow. I guess this is kind of generic because I'm, again, I don't look at these questions before, but I guess the first thing that comes to mind, I guess, would be the generic proposal in the cage. I've seen several. I'd say at least 5 people have proposed in our cage over the
at least.
How many have accepted? Have they all accepted, or we ever get a turn?
To my knowledge, everyone's accepted at least publicly. Maybe some things.
How many of them are still together? That's the question.
As to tips for being in a relationship with a fighter, I'm not a fighter, so I would probably defer on that one. But if I could give you tips on being in a relationship with a promoter, and that's to have a lot of patience and the understanding that you know, there is no downtime, there is no off time,
and do your best to sleep soundly because they're up all night long.
All right.
Moving on. Next question. Past or present, what's your favorite MMA couple?
Ooh, that's a good one. Man, I'm sure I'll forget someone, but I guess the couple that just like comes to mind the quickest, and you know, I've been around them a lot, and they're friends of ours, would be the Samples, you know, Ace and Ashley.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, next question. Now that the dust has settled, what are your thoughts on Yoel Romero's big win over Luke Rockhold? Is it tainted due to Yoel's missing weight, or did he prove that he's the best middleweight on the planet?
I think that he's still going to get that chance, most likely, I think, to prove it against Whitaker. But the last time he fought Whitaker, he lost. So I wouldn't say that he's the best 185 on the planet yet.
All right, next question. Are you sold on Israel Adesanya? How high can this prospect climb? And what would you do to ensure he becomes the UFC's next star?
Oh, I think they've got a good one on their hands there. I think, you know, I don't know if anybody saw his post fight, but I mean, he'll talk it up. You know, he's going to be like a McGregor type, you know, he'll talk a lot of shit. He was very exciting to watch. Very good striker. He is now 12-0, I think, with all 12 by knockout or at least TKO. So, you know, he's got the goods. He fought a guy that, you know, a local Australian guy, and Rob Wilkerson, that is tough, but I think most people assumed he would get past him. I'd like to see how he does against a power wrestler, someone that can really close that gap and put him on his back, or try to, anyway.
Fair enough. Final question. Donald Cerrone headlines this weekend's UFC card, even though he's lost 4 straight. Is that a bad look for the UFC, or is it more important to put on exciting fights, which Cowboy is almost always involved in?
That's a good question, too. I struggle with that myself, you know, because, you know, there's pros and cons to both. Obviously, you know, you want to have an exciting fight at the top of the card. You want to have marquee name value like Cerrone has. Everybody knows a Cowboy's fighting, that you're going to get a good fight and there's going to be attention on it. At the same time, you are potentially kind of you're when the guy's lost 4 fights in a row like that and you're still rewarding him with main event slots. You know, what does that tell the rest of your roster? So, man, I really guess I just danced all around that question without answering it. But
beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, but I guess I would say, you know, I guess it can be justified in this case. You know, it's a fight night. It's not like a pay-per-view. But still, I can see where some eyebrows may be raised.
All right. Well, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. Remember to send in your questions each week, and Tim Loy will be happy to answer each and every one of those. With that being said, it is time to move on to another great interview. We are joined by John Crouch, BJJ Black Belt, head coach of the MMA Lab in Glendale, Arizona, and he has produced some of the top MMA talent in the world, including former UFC lightweight champ Benson Henderson. John, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.
We appreciate it, Coach Crouch. For sure, honored to have you on here. For those that don't know, like Casey said, the head coach of the MMA Lab in Arizona, one of the top teams in the world right now, producing just stellar talent. And us being located here in the Tennessee region, we have seen a good amount of fighters make their way out to Arizona to do their camps at the lab, or even further, and just to help other people with their camps, or just to train in general. So, if you would just kind of enlighten us on how that kind of came to be, you know, kind of out of nowhere, we kind of started seeing more and more of the top talent from our region start to make their way out there to the lab to get their training in.
Well, you know what? Scott Holtzman was training with Jamie Varner back in the day, and Varner was one of our guys. He was in our camp for a while, and when he made his comeback to the UFC, when he beat Edson Barbosa, that's when he joined us. And Scotty came in and he liked it. He told me, you know, he was going to stay for a couple days and then turned into a week. And he asked if it was okay if he stayed for a month. And now he's been a regular there and just a wonderful guy. Scott Holtzman's like one of the best humans I've ever met in my life. So we also, Ashley Gooch, who was the CES heavyweight champion, he's from Tennessee originally. He knew Luke Sanders, and Luke came out, did a couple of, you know, just came in and visited, and then he decided to do a couple of camps, and, you know, he won the RFA belt and then got signed by the UFC. So those two guys are mainstays. And I think Courtney Casey has some ties to Tennessee as well. I'm not sure if she was with Valor Fights or what was going on out there, but Yeah, everybody I've met, and you guys just stole Brian Barberina from me. He lives in Tennessee now, has a farm there.
That's right.
But he's going to be coming back to camp. So now you have another Tennessee guy that will be coming to visit us in the desert.
Well, in addition to all that, you just made the move to a new location. That's a big deal. I know that the MMA lab is growing considerably, and this is another feather in your cap in that regard. Talk about the new camp and the new gym.
Yeah, it's been a real pain in the butt. If for anybody else out there that wants to do it, don't do it. It's terrible. You know, we're doing well, and it's a nice place, but it's really been a rocky road. Like, the fight team really hasn't noticed a difference. We just have practice in a different spot now, you know. But I think it's going to be wonderful. Like, it's in a better location as far as nobody ever found us by accident before. And even people that were trying to find us couldn't find us. So we're in a mall kind of setting next to a movie theater. And we're hoping to attract all sorts of new students and just ensure that we can do our thing. We've been open for 10 years. Almost 11 years, and we hope to do it for another 11.
Coach Crouch, hey, it's Jeff Hobbs. How you doing?
Oh, the troublemaker. You always have to have the bad cop. Now this is the bad cop time?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, man. Hey, me and Coach Crouch, we've traveled a little bit together, and I've gotten to spend a lot of time with him, and he is honestly one of my favorite people in the world. You know, Coach, I always enjoy our talks, kind of when we're hanging out on fight weekend, when we would hang out with Luke and stuff. And, you know, Coach's brutal honesty is really one of those things that I admire most about him. But, you know, we were talking about, you know, there's been a time where I can't remember what fight we were at, but at that time, I think you had said at that moment during our conversation, you had maybe like 15, 16, 17 actual UFC contracted fighters at that time when we were talking. And not just the biggest promotion in the world, but you are filling up even the regional scene with world-class fighters. What is it that you see has been the key to the MMA Lab's, you know, longevity and success, you know, in these promotions?
Well, when I moved to Arizona, one of my good friends who I trained with at the Gracie Academy started a gym, and he asked me if I would come start a fight team. I had never done that. At the time, one of my best student was Alvin Robinson, and he was a kid. His college wrestling program had been canceled, and he walked into my place, which had about, I don't know, 20 students or so, and he said he wanted to go to the UFC, and I thought, okay, we'll give it a shot, and turned out well, and he fought in the UFC, and, you know, when I moved down here, I wanted to do it as I had done it with him. Like, I cared for him a lot. He was family to me. And so I don't know how other to do that than to have a really closely knit group. So I would say that people are looking for a team feel and atmosphere, find a niche at our place. And I think that support from everybody helps you build. And it helps it when you're suffering through those terrible times that MMA provides us. And it provides you with great support when you're having success. So I would say the key to it is just our team atmosphere.
Well, you talked a lot about family, and we talked a little bit about, you know, the MMA Lab has always been synonymous with Benson Henderson, and we can talk all day about his MMA achievements, but what is it about Benson as a human being that has, you know, that you would like the world to know? What is it about him that makes him so special, Coach?
I think it's pretty obvious. He's just a man of his word. Like, he's gonna outwork everybody. He's gonna show up every day, and he's gonna do his very best at whatever it is he does. You know, he's a great teammate. He's a great person. He cares for people, and he will go to the farthest ends of the earth to make sure that, you know, he does the right thing. And that's not always true today. Like, people are always so fast to get quick rewards or, you know, do things that are only good for them. And Ben, you know, he's a big part of the reason that the team thing worked at the lab. He bought into it hook, line, and sinker and made sure that it worked and took care of his teammates. And he's just a really special guy in that respect.
Absolutely. And like I said, when someone gets to know you, I think your genuine love for Benson, you know, throws through. So, you know, that close knit family thing you talk about, it's evident when you get down, when you get to sit down with you and talk about, you know, your fighters. We talked a little bit about the connection with our Tennessee fighters and the lab, but I know from personal experience, I always, you know, joke around with you and when are you going to open up a MMA lab East or an MMA lab South? But what a lot of people don't know is you have a genuine, love, if you will, for the state of Tennessee itself. I know when the UFC has come to town, this is one of those cities that you will bring your family to and you'll stay extra afterwards or maybe come in a few days extra before. What is it actually about the state of Tennessee that you do enjoy so much?
Well, you know, it's really close to my family moving there to Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Everybody I've ever met from Tennessee, I loved. Like, don't tell Ashley Gooch that because I'm keeping him guessing. But
gotcha.
They're just great, great, down-to-earth people. And I love forests and water, and there is no such thing as that in Arizona.
And, absolutely.
You know, I'd love to be out on some acres and have some trees and, you know, have some animals. And we really considered it a few years ago. And that's when, Luke Sanders, who's one of our guys, and his mother is just one of the great people on the world, on the planet. And she, you know, cooked dinner for us, and she watched my kids while we went and looked for houses and stuff. So I'd find all the people there super warm and funny and down to earth, and I just love the natural beauty too. I'm not much of a nightlife guy though. You know, Nashville was great as far as being busy and lots of stuff to do, but for me, what really got me was the natural beauty of the scenery and just the outdoors.
So it was literally that close. You were looking at houses in the area.
Yeah, Luke set us up with somebody that drove us around for a few days, and Lupe, Luke's mom, watched my kids, and we looked at probably 15 houses in a few days. So it was close.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Coach, let's talk action, all right? UFC Fight Night, April 14th. Glendale, Arizona. All right. I know the UFC's been to Phoenix. I even traveled out there to hang out with you guys one fight, but they are in Glendale, home of the MMA lab. What's going on, man? I'm looking at this card. We've got Luke Sanders. We've got Courtney Casey, John Moraga. Is there anybody that we're missing right now? And what is it going to mean to the lab to have the UFC right in your back door, man, right in your backyard and be represented so highly?
Well, you know, they've been there twice. And we've had four fighters on each of those cards. So, you know, they try to do that. The UFC, they try to put hometown guys on the card, draw some people. And I think there might be some more coming, and maybe people that in Tennessee might be interested to know who that is. I'm not at liberty to say, but there's a pretty strong chance that there might be some volunteer state. There might be some old Rocky Top playing it, even more. So
Nice. I'm going to tell you, like I said, I came out to the fight in Phoenix. One of the best MMA moments that I've experienced, and it may sound crazy to other people, but when John Moraga came out to Bone Thugs and Harmony, the way that place popped was something that I had never heard before, you know, at a live MMA event. It was amazing to listen to the support that he had there, and that put chills up and down my arms, that intro. If you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about Luke Sanders' opponent, because while Luke is an MMA lab fighter, he's fighting a local guy. Was it Arizona State or Arizona wrestler? But let's talk about that matchup. What do you see in that matchup?
I feel like Luke's just too strong everywhere. That kid is an athlete, and he just hasn't had a lot of success. I don't feel like, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but it feels like he hasn't been training as he should, and I know Luke has. And Luke is, you know, and the thing is about that, I just think Luke in his fights in the UFC, if they've lasted 25 minutes, he's won 24 minutes and 50 seconds of those fights. And made a couple of mistakes. I still think he's one of the great 35ers in the UFC, and he's going to show that. You know, Patrick is a tough athlete, but he is standing on the train tracks, and it is not good news for him.
Absolutely, absolutely, Coach. Hey, before I kick this back over to Casey, Coach, Tim, Casey, you know, like I said, I've kind of traveled a little bit with Coach, and one of my favorite Coach Crouch stories is, when I found out that Coach Crouch was friends with Ed O'Neill, I was fascinated, completely fascinated with the idea that someone was friends with Ed O'Neill. And we were sitting in the hotel room, guys, and he just decided to whip out his phone and call Ed O'Neill. And I'm like a giddy kid on the, you know, other bed in the hotel room, just listening to this one-sided conversation. And I thought it was the coolest thing, that Coach has history with Ed O'Neill. And the whole time he's talking, and I hear him talking about BJJ and, you know, some personal stuff, all I'm picturing is Al Bundy on the couch with his hands down his pants on the other end of his phone call. But Coach, how long has that relationship been and that friendship with Ed O'Neill? Casey is, you know, your true blue, you know, jiu-jitsu practitioner. And I know he, me and him talked earlier about Ed's, Mr. O'Neill's background in BJJ. How did that friendship, come about over the years? And really, truly, from your standpoint, what are Ed's BJJ skills? What level is he at? Where would you rank him up there in guys that you've rolled with?
Well, he was a student at Horney and Gracie's, you know, like he was a pretty famous guy at the time. Back then, Married with Children is still going. I went to a few of the tapings and got to go backstage, which was pretty cool, you know. And I'm not saying, but Kelly Bundy was looking at me is all. That's, I don't want to brag or nothing. I think she had some eyes for me. That's a flat lie, by the way. That's a complete lie.
You had me going.
I know I didn't. But when Horian would get busy and Ed would come down, then some of the guys, I was in the instructors program, and so we would do private classes with him because, you know, people in the normal classes, they'd be so excited to train with him, it would be not good for him because he was older, you know, like, he was an athlete. I don't know if people know, but he was drafted by the Steelers. He boxed. He was a real athlete in his day. And so his jiu-jitsu was good, like real basic fundamental Horian Gracie stuff, but he was really good. And he definitely put in, I think it took him about 15 years to get his black belt. And that was training with Horian 2-4 times a week. So he was such a funny, endearing guy. He still texts me after fights just to see what I thought. And he, you know, tells me his opinion and tells me what my guys should be doing different. You know, it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
All right, real quick, I want to give you a chance to kind of give the social media plugs out there, especially with your new academy up and running in the new location. Talk about how we can get in touch and where to find you and follow all the great fighters there at the MMA Lab.
Cool. Well, on Facebook, we're the MMA Lab. And if we're on Twitter, we are at the MMA Lab. And on Instagram, we are the MMA Lab. So all those are pretty easy to find us. And I run all those too. So if you need to anybody wants to get a hold of me, ask any questions, I'm the guy that is on the social media and they can hit me up and I'll get back with them.
MMA guru and MMA Lab head coach John Crouch continues his journey with top prospects in the biggest fighting events in the world. Look for Coach Crouch in a corner near you and contact the MMA Lab to find out more about this amazing facility. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
That does it for a great interview, but we aren't through yet. It's time for this week's Valor Hour main event. If you're a regular Valor Hour listener, then you are familiar with how this song and dance works. It's over to the discussion panel with real talk on relevant yet sometimes risque topics that you, the listeners, really want to hear. And tonight is no different. And without further ado, let's begin. Number one, Olympic figure skating crushed the UFC on Saturday night, drawing 30 times the audience. Tim, talk about this discussion topic here. What's the reason for it? Is it the oversaturation of the UFC, or is it simply the Olympic Winter Games?
Oh, wow. I guess there is this is a bit of a perfect storm, I suppose, in that, you know, the Olympics are only once every 4 years. Figure skating's like a really big deal, I guess. Not to me. I really don't care to watch it, but my wife was excited for it, and I think a lot of, you know, not to sound sexist or whatever, but I guess a lot of women like a lot of women like figure skating, you know. Not to mention you pair it with the fact that this was not the most strong UFC prelims card on what was to be not the most strong UFC pay-per-view card. So, and it was Australia, a lot of Australian guys and Asians. It just wasn't necessarily set up to contend so well. But I think at the same time, you know, there is a lot of oversaturation in UFC events in that. It doesn't. Something like that wouldn't feel near as special as a once every 4 year Olympic figure skating championship, I guess, to most. So I think had it been a card that had a little better star power then we would have had a little better, you know, baseline to make our decision on, you know, would it have been that much of a difference in viewership if there were better, if the UFC had a better offering? If that were the case, then I think definitely we would know that it was oversaturation versus this just being kind of a weak card.
Yeah. Jeff, what say you?
You know, I don't follow figure skating either. I haven't watched figure skating.
Bullshit.
Since,
bullshit.
Liar.
Liar.
Listen. God damn. I stopped watching figure skating back when, you guys probably remember, when Jimmy McElroy and Chaz Michael Michaels won that same-sex pair figure skating competition.
Never heard of that in my life.
I haven't watched since then. But, man, I think a lot of it, like Tim said, it's the Olympics, man. It's every 4 years. You know, it's going to draw people. I still do think it's a little bit of the oversaturation. But, you know, if we moved MMA into the Olympics like everybody wants, then maybe we don't have to compare them. Maybe they'll become one and the same at some point. You know, the more we talk about MMA and the Olympics, you know, it's going to be hard to compete in a tournament style, you know, Olympic thing. But, you know, maybe stretch it out over winter and summer. I don't know. But, you know, I don't think it's cause to. Hey, look, the ratings have been low regardless of the Olympics or not. So I can't say I'm going to focus on the fact that the Olympics crushed the UFC. I mean, UFC ratings have been low regardless of what's on TV here lately. So, I mean, we'll bounce back. It is what it is.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last week when we were discussing the UMAF and then the IMAF Worlds and so forth. You know, that is really the best shot of getting mixed martial arts into the Olympics, but there's still a long road to go down in that regard. Mark, what is your thought? What are your thoughts on Olympic figure skating, firstly, and how that went down, and how UFC will contend in the future here as the Olympics, continue?
Well, first off, of course, I give zero fucks about figure skating because nobody bleeds, so nobody gives a shit. Second off, if they're ever going to have MMA in the Winter Olympics, I'm taking Khabib all day in the Winter fucking Olympics, bro. the guy survives everywhere. That's for me. You put him in freezing ass cold, bro. That's my guy, 100%. I bet the fucking farm on it.
All right, let's move on. Next topic: Floyd Mayweather versus CM Punk. Is it the Money Camp Eyes warm up UFC fight before Conor McGregor rematch?
He should
what
be fine.
Think
Sawyer.
About this. What's going on here?
Yeah, be fine. Man. Sawyer.
Sawyer, what do you think about this?
I think that's a ridiculous question. what the fuck are we even talking about at this point? You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, like, if that happens, I don't even know what to think. Floyd Mayweather should knock him out. It's funny that I say should, but I mean, who even knows at that point? Like he could take it right down. I guess I don't know, but it's just something that's hard to even wrap my head around. Is like it's something that could happen. You know what I mean? Like if we were to even ever see, the Mayweather versus Conor fight is absurd in MMA. I mean anybody who knows anything about it, it's not even opinionated. I mean, it's going to happen. Conor would crush him in a very quickly brutal fashion. I mean, it's just a different thing, and I
I don't even really know how to even give an opinion about it, you know, on a real level, because that just seems so crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder what would sell more, CM Punk versus Floyd or Connor versus Floyd, because I think CM Punk versus Floyd might sell a fucking lot.
Yeah, and it's a
yeah, I agree with that. The hardcore fan knows, you know.
I think it's a more viable matchup. Alan, who you think Floyd Mayweather kicks CM Punk's ass in a real fight?
Well, I'm not sure about the weight between the two. Isn't there a massive weight difference between the two? Because I mean, obviously
50 pounds.
If CM Punk gets a hold of him, he's going to go to the ground, and it's going to be the most ridiculous, worst fight ever, and it's gonna, like, I love freak shows, so I'm all for it. I wish I could be there to photograph it and just be part of it and just enjoy the freak show that is. I mean, I'm all for it. I have my popcorn ready. I have my coat. I'll be having a good time. So yeah, I'm all for
this fight sounds like something you would see on one of those ridiculous, you know, MMA groups that no one knows shit about what they're talking about, but you know what I mean? Like, they're like, why did this happen, man? Who'd win against CM Punk versus Floyd Mayweather in MMA? And you're like, who's
well, they're
the fuck
really
is this,
talking
dude?
About
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know, I know. I mean, that's why it's so absurd. Like, I mean, what in the hell is going on at this point? I mean, so, I understand it's money, and I mean, that guy, what the fuck, boys, you know?
So, Tim.
That guy dies in an octagon.
So Tim, so look at it like this, man. You know, you said CM Punk is just going to take Mayweather down. But let me ask you this. I mean, hey, Mayweather, he's had his eye on this for a while. There's been talk about this for several years. So I'm certain that a multimillionaire like this, he's preparing. He's training somewhere. He, you know, Mayweather doesn't have to become a BJJ black belt. He just has to learn how to move his feet. He has to learn how to sprawl and brawl, to work effectively. Because CM Punk is tough and he's got some basic fundamentals, but that's not to say he's an Olympic wrestler that's going to be able to close the distance on Mayweather in small gloves. Mayweather's going to hurt somebody with those small gloves
Hell
on.
Yeah.
People don't have an idea. Tim, what are your thoughts on this fight?
Yeah, I honestly think that, unless Punk has improved just so much that he can really just, you know, stymie him and get him down and keep him down or keep him clinched up, then it's only a matter of time, I think, before Floyd lands. And Floyd's, is, you know, he's a plus athlete on top of it all. So, you know, holding a guy like that down is not going to be real easy. I think that I think Floyd would ultimately probably knock him out.
All right, let's move on to our next line of discussion here. Here's another one from the headlines. MMA odds and ends for Tuesday. Chuck Liddell training for a potential comeback. Now, Tim, obviously you and I know very well we're fans of Big Brother, and we, you know, of course, we saw Chuck Liddell ousted from the house last week. But, you know, that sets him up for something else, and obviously he's training for a comeback. What do you think?
Well, first off, I think he's really bad at Big Brother. He was not good at Big Brother at all. But, you know, I mean, he was straight up with everybody, and, you know, he just kind of shot from the hip, but he just didn't have that, you know, social game or the ability to just lie to people and do the things you got to do. But it kind of did get his name and his face back out there. And, you know, I had read that he had a job, I guess, with UFC when he retired, but when the new management bought the UFC, he was fired. So, you know, they're talking about him with, like, you know, Sonnen and guys like that. So that tells me maybe he would be leaning towards coming back with Bellator or something.
Yeah.
What would it take to get him into Valor fights? That's what I want to know.
Ooh, a lot more money.
That would change the landscape. Wouldn't it?
It'd probably take a lot more money.
Mark, what do you think about getting old Iceman back into the cage again?
I'm ready to wake him up, man. I'll wake him up one by one.
Oh, God.
Wake them up or wake him up, man?
Hey, fuck it. I'm down both corners, baby. Fucking fuck.
Jeff.
What you talking to, man?
Jeff, Iceman's been dropped a lot, you know, there in the closing moments, fights of his career there. Do you think that maybe the chin could have healed up a little bit? Do you think that's even possible? Do you think it's a good idea?
I mean, I think it's fine for Bellator as long as the competition is comparable. You know, he can't do he doesn't need to do what BJ Penn is doing. And, you know, BJ Penn still coming back, but he's going after the young lions, you know, still, that's not a wise move. But I mean, if he's going to, just move into the same little niche with, you know, Tito and Shale and, you know, those guys over there, then, you know, why not? As long, like I said, competition.
What about Chuck and Fedor? That's the one that stands out to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, that kind of whole little geriatric crew that Bellator's got going on, you know, why not, you know? I mean, I think the risk is you know, considerably lower with those guys than it would be if he's, like I said, jumping in there with some of these young studs that are out there. So, I mean, there's been nothing about the Rampage Chael or the Tito Chael fights that, you know, if I was Chuck, that would scare me, you know, to think that his health could be at risk with those guys right now. They're all playing on pretty much a fair and even playing field. And hell, just for the sake of, you know, Chuck and Tito, I mean, just that history alone, it's going to make for some good buildup if they marketed it right. I'm not real sure. I don't know if I would trust Bellator to market it the way that it should and give it the legs that I think it, you know, could have. But yeah, why not?
Yeah, I definitely, I love the Iceman. You know, a lot of people give him a hard time these days with, you know, because it seems like with every era. I remember when Chuck Liddell was on Top of the World, and at that time everybody was scoffing at your Hoises and your Ken Shamrocks, and they were saying all those guys, and Dan Severn, they were saying, oh, those guys were never any good. Those guys were, you know, Chuck Liddell is the new era. And now you fast forward another, you know, 10, 15 years ahead, and now everybody is, you know, that barely remembers Chuck Liddell when he was MMA fighting for a period of time, and everybody says the same thing. He was, you know, it was overrated. He wasn't the fighter, you know, that people remember. And, you know, you always lose that glory. I always tell fighters, don't fight for glory, fight for that paycheck and for the future of what business you're going to go into after that, because your legacy will never stay with you. You know, I mean, you're always going to be these new lions that come in and make, you know, all of your past work look like it was subpar. So, I'm a huge fan of Chuck's, and I'm glad to see him potentially getting out there and now be able to do something as long as he's safe. That being said, that closes it out. That does it for our Valor Hour main event, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Now, remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher, and please share this broadcast. We return right here next week as we continue our discussion on the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. A huge thanks to our great lineup of guests this week, as well as a huge shout-out to Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl for their tremendous support. For myself, Casey Oxendine, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Reuben Foster busted less than a month ago with the Mary Jane. And then he got busted just last night or the night before for domestic abuse. So, once again, it puts John Lynch in a very tough position when you have somebody getting arrested twice within a month. Probably is not going to work out in the long run. And you don't want to just cut ties sometimes, but when you talk about domestic abuse, I think you have to send a message out there to the players on your team and, you know, anybody that's listening, that I have zero tolerance in these trying times and, you know, what's going on in our government. A lot of it's very disgusting. I was talking about that yesterday on my show on 102.5, what's going on with the president and his right-hand man and the domestic abuse and how our president is backing him. Not me, okay? You put your hands on a woman, I ain't backing you.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.